We're delighted to have Brother David with us for a little bit, and he's going to be preaching to us tonight. And in God's providence, Carl not able to anyways, and continue to keep Carl in your prayers. David will be with us this Sunday and next.
Good Lord willing.
Over the past 2 weeks here worshiping with you all, I want to remind you how blessed you are. Trisha and I don't get to be in person with English-speaking congregations hearing the gospel proclaimed in English, and it's certainly a blessing to be able to be among the congregation. We thank you all for praying for us, and we ask that you would continue to do that. Please continue to do that. If you will take your Bible and turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I'll read a portion of chapter 2 and a portion of chapter 3. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Mark 2:23. One Sabbath, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this afternoon, we ask for you to give us light, give us understanding, to give us what we need from your word. For we know that you work through your word by the power of the Spirit. And so, Lord, would you work among us now? May we hear the truth. May we be sanctified in the truth, for your word is truth, Father. We do thank you that we can have this privilege together. Would you allow us to see the benefits of this day, the Lord's day? And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ himself that I pray this prayer. Amen. So, really the focus, I read this passage of Scripture. Does the microphone seem loud to you? Seemed loud to me. No? Not too loud? Okay. I guess I'm just not used to a microphone here, Pastor Marks. Things have changed since I haven't been around very often. So, the focus is Mark chapter 2, verse 27, when Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Jesus and the Pharisees had different understandings of Sabbath. Jesus regularly taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath. So if we get an overview of Jesus' Sabbath day activities, he taught in the synagogues. That was his custom. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Jesus approved of his hungry disciples plucking and eating some grain as they walked through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And Jesus also spent some time on the Sabbath talking to these Pharisees, pointing out the merciful acts that the Pharisees would do on the Sabbath. Now, what would a Pharisee do that was merciful on the Sabbath day? Well, they would pull a sheep out of a pit. If a sheep were to fall into the pit, they would help the sheep out. And they would untie their ox or their donkey from the manger, and they would lead it out to get a drink of water on the Sabbath day. Those are merciful things that the Pharisees would do. But the Pharisees did not approve of the merciful acts that Jesus performed on the Sabbath, such as healing this man with the withered hand and also straightening up the woman who had been bent over, bowed down for some 18 years. They didn't approve of those type works, of those type acts. And as far as the sheep being pulled out of the pit, of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So Jesus' understanding of Sabbath observance and Pharisees was quite different. And today, many people have different understanding of Sabbath, or I'll say the Lord's Day observance. Because for the Christian, we are here on the first day of the week. This is the day that Jesus came forth from the grave. This is the Lord's Day that John was in the Spirit on. The saints continually gathered together on the first day of the week. Paul even instructed the Corinthians to take a collection on that day for the other poor saints. So certainly from Scripture, we would say the Jewish folk observed the Sabbath, the seventh day, and as following forth after that, after the resurrection of Christ, the day of worship became the first day of the week, Sunday, and what we call the Lord's Day. So we'll give a little bit of orientation there. There's a lot more that could be said. Many people have a different understanding of Sabbath and or Lord's Day observance. Some call it the Christian Sabbath. But what I want to do this afternoon, by God's grace, is to have a simple overview of some scriptures that will highlight and bring out the benefits of the Sabbath or Lord's Day observance. That's what I want us to see. The benefit of the Sabbath or Lord's Day observance. The Sabbath was made for man. For me, this is key in understanding what is this day that we are pretty serious about. I hope that you are pretty serious about it. And I think that we would do well to be more serious about this day that we come together and worship the Lord. The Sabbath was made for man. Saw it right there, Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Jesus gives the correct understanding of the Sabbath. It was made for man. Man was not made to serve a day. And I hope that we can, I hope that you will consider right now, what do you think about the Lord's Day ultimately? Is this drudgery to you? Are you happy to be here? Are you benefited from this day? These type of questions, I hope, will come into your consideration as we look at these scriptures and pull out these principles. Is just not just physically where are you, but where is your heart on this issue? And where is your heart on this day? I have had struggles in the past. The Lord has shown me a cold heart at times toward him, based even on the Lord's Day and my observance of it. I hope this will help us to get the benefit, see the purpose, see how God can be glorified in a greater measure and how our souls can be done more good for His glory. And so people are not to be slaves of one day a week to go through a bunch of empty ritual. That's not what people are for. People, all of us, should understand that God made one day of the week to be set apart from other days. The Sabbath was made for man. And of course, it needs to be kept holy, it's set apart, and it's unto the Lord. This is a Sabbath of the Lord. Matthew Henry says, talking about verse 28, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Matthew Henry says, "Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. It is fit the day and the work of it should be dedicated to Him." So I keep talking about the blessings and the benefits to us, but ultimately the blessing and the benefit is going to come to us as we glorify Him. As our focus is upward, then our hearts will be lifted upward. You see, I'm not just trying to have your best life now and just a word of encouragement here. We want God to be glorified, and we really want to be done some good. And so, Sabbath day, first and foremost, it's supposed to be a benefit to you. The Lord's Day, supposed to be a benefit. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Let us consider how we might stir up one another all the more to love and to good works. That's what, don't neglect this, the meeting of the church. The Sabbath, one benefit, gives us a proper perspective of work. Now, as Christians, we have a high view of work. We know that whatever we do, we're supposed to work heartily with our heart as to the Lord and not to men. So just thinking about our work and our what we'd call kind of our normal everyday life, we know that we need to be working people. Paul even said that by God's enablement, he worked harder than anyone else. Now, that sounds pretty strong. I worked harder than any of them. But then Paul gave us that important following phrase, "Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul's not going to boast in his flesh, but he's going to boast in the Lord and how the Lord enabled his flesh to do mighty work. I hope that our desire would be the same. Don't you want to work harder than anyone for the sake of the Lord? I do. I mean, I know I don't, but I have this desire. If you knew me a little bit more, Tricia knows me best in this room, you'd say, well, your flesh could be used more for the Lord. And all of us will probably agree there. So we have this high view of work. Don't grow weary in doing good. Even the simple things of not so much work, but the simple things of eating and drinking. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You get this theme from Scripture that this flesh and this life is now the Lord's. Once we receive salvation, we're His. And we're delighted to be in such a situation. Despair and difficulty and discouragement comes when we confess Christ, begin to follow Him, and then we're almost turning back and going our own way and wanting to live for our own glory. There's going to be no satisfaction found in living in that direction. But what would this Sabbath do for us to give us this proper perspective of work? Genesis chapter 2. You know where we're going to go. Some of these core texts of the establishment of the Sabbath. On the seventh day, God ceased. His work of creation was complete. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The Sabbath gives a proper perspective of work. All his work that he had done in the creation was completed. The Lord now, in verse 3, blessed this day and set apart the seventh day because the work was complete. Again, Matthew Henry says, the day is blessed. Men are blessed by it and in it as well. And so, God worked 6 days in the creation. He ceased his labor. What about man? Following the pattern, Exodus chapter 20. When the command is given in the Ten Commandments, we find Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, the Sabbath day observance. Follow me, and hopefully we will see the point. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, what we read in Genesis 2, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Man is to cease from his work. God ceased from his work, and week by week, we are to cease from our work. This day gives us a proper perspective on work. Stop. We are given 1 day in a week to rest from our ordinary work and to be busy about holy work. We should be careful, of course, to remember that this common work should be done for the glory of God, and God is very glorified wherever he has put you, at whatever position and station in life that you have. But this blessing of a proper view of work can be understood in this way. Ellicott's commentary for English readers: his law of Sabbath established a conformity between the method of his own working, the Lord's own working, and that of his reasonable creatures, and taught men to look on work not as an aimless, indefinite, incessant, weary round, but as leading to an end, a rest, a fruition, a time for looking back and seeing the result and rejoicing in it. I would just say that the world, we need to realize that the world does not hang on our own accomplishments. However highly motivated you might be, I think that we need to see that it's okay for us to rest in the Lord and not to be overly consumed with our vocation, if you will, if our money making, whatever you want to call it. If that consumes us, then we are not going to be receiving all the blessings that the Lord has for his people. This principle of resting 1 day, ceasing from our work, allows us to see we don't have to work all the time. Just stop 1 day a week. Put aside these things that we focus so intensely on throughout the week. And the benefit is going to come when we focus upon the Lord. And so, again, that commentary goes on. Each Sabbath is such a time, is a type and foretaste of the eternal sabbatizing in another world, which remaineth for the people of God. Now, we enter rest certainly in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you become his co-heir, when you become a child of God, when you've been forgiven of your sins, washed in the blood, you repent of your sin, you trust in Jesus, you begin to rest in the Lord, no doubt. You begin to rest in the Lord. But also, there is an eternal rest for the people of God. Proper perspective on work. What do we think about our work? Well, I think that if we simply look at the Sabbath principle, we can know that we can stop, we can rest in the Lord and realize that we don't have to hold it all together, if you will. I mean, the Lord certainly is sovereign. We should certainly work hard, work heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. But we don't have to continually make it happen. We can trust the Lord in our endeavors, and we can trust him to leave our regular work and come for our holy work on the Lord's day. Helps us to have a proper perspective on work. The Lord ceased from his labors. And on the seventh day, he set it apart as holy. Also, the Sabbath gives us time to remember the Lord's saving work. The Sabbath gives us time, the Lord's day gives us time to remember the Lord's saving work. Certainly throughout the week, you should be focusing on the Lord. But this is a special day. You have more time today. I mean, I don't know what your vocation is and where the Lord's put you, but most of us do not get to meditate on and rejoice in the Lord to the degree we can on this day compared to our other days. I mean, 33, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds are going to be getting my attention, and they're going to want to show me that they have new fast shoes on today, and they're going to show me they have the blue car, and I'm going to want them to listen to the lessons and to be learning and growing in all sorts of ways. And they're understanding that God made this world, and this is what God's world is like. And so let's praise God because of it. But there's a special time of remembering the Lord's saving work on the Lord's day. This is a benefit and a blessing to you. I hope that you will agree with me. A lot of controversy, I guess, over Sabbath and Lord's Day observance. But let's not overly complicate it. Let's just turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. The second giving of the law. Lord preparing the next generation to enter the promised land. Ten commandments once again, but with a little bit different information. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Beginning in verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Then this is Deuteronomy 5:12, beginning in now 13. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave or servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You shall remember. You shall remember. So here we have tied with this Sabbath day command for the Jewish people, for them to remember this Lord's saving work. And wow, isn't it glorious? We don't have to look far to see what the Jewish people were, the Israelites were delivered from. The people of Israel are to remember that they were slaves in the land of Egypt. Turn with me back to Exodus chapter 1. There are great benefits in taking time to remember taking time to remember. The Lord's Day affords us, as the Sabbath day afforded the Jewish people, time to remember. Exodus chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14. The more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. So God was blessing the people of Israel in spite of their oppression. The Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. Verse 13, so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. You see the situation for the people of Israel. They need to remember this state. We read it back over there in Deuteronomy chapter 5 when God commanded the Sabbath. He said, you shall remember you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And he said, don't just forget your terrible condition. He said, remember what the Lord has done. Remember what the Lord has done. With the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so, what are the people of Israel to remember? They need to remember what they did when the slavery got so bad. What did they do? Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and verse 25. It says, Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, during those days, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. They cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel. And God knew. They need to remember something about this situation. It wasn't comfortable. It was a terrible situation that they were in. But they needed to remember what they did when the slavery got so bad. They cried out. They cried out to God. And what happened? Well, God saw and God knew. He is a God of seeing. That's one of the verses that the little kids sang. You are a God of seeing. Well, the people of Israel need to remember not just that God saw their situation, not just that God knew about their situation, but what God would do about their situation. What did God do? Look in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because they're taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, this is the Lord, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you might bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I will be with you. And this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. They need to remember that God was going to do something about their situation. And they need to remember how the Lord delivered them and defeated the Egyptians and ultimately got glory for himself. We read it in Exodus chapter 14. What happened? Well, the Egyptians were going to They said, well, let them go. But then they thought, well, we better not do that. So they'll pursue them. But the Lord said, I'm going to get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And verse 18 of Exodus chapter 14. So Exodus 14, verse 18, the Lord says, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. See, God was doing something to glorify himself and was going to certainly be good for his people. Also, we know, as we heard, that the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 30. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. The Lord saw the great power, or the Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is an amazing thing. The people of Israel must remember. Again, let's connect this back. What is this benefit of the Sabbath day to the Jewish people? Remembering the saving work of the Lord. And so I ask you, what is the benefit for us on the Lord's day? Are you looking for the land of milk and honey here on this earth? Or are you looking for a city whose builder and maker is God? Are you looking for some temporal blessing? Or are you looking for the everlasting blessing that comes from the Lord? Well, let us on the Lord's day remember the saving work of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Adam Clark says, the Lord might have the seventh part of our time to devote, or we can have the seventh part of our time to devote for the purposes of bodily rest and spiritual exercises. Certainly we should cease from work, stop and say, it's not all dependent on me. The Lord is actually holding this world together in his hands. And he actually makes rich and he actually makes poor. And we actually can depend upon him. We need to be responsible. We need to be hard workers, but we also must ultimately look to the Lord. And we also must certainly take seriously these spiritual exercises on the seventh part of our whole time. The spiritual exercise of remembering the work of the Lord was a benefit to Israel, and it is a benefit to us. How often do you remember? You say, well, I do my devotions every day. I'm reading the Bible every day. I hope that you are. Certainly we should. Every day, remember. But how much time do we get to saturate and be filled up? This morning, if your soul was not stirred by the prospect of being rooted and grounded in the love of God displayed in Jesus Christ, if you were not stirred, if you did not receive some joy within, then I will encourage you to plead with the Lord to awaken your heart or to revive you again. The spiritual exercise is a benefit to us. You might ask, what is the benefit for me to remember how the Lord delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt? And the answer is, we learn that the Lord is glorious, and we learn that the Lord displays his glory in delivering slaves. And who is a slave? Every one of us were once a slave to sin. Anything that we are obedient to, we become a slave to. We became obedient to our sin. There was such a time when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And we were ruled by the passions of the flesh that are now at work in the sons of disobedience. We at once were worked in by the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2 says. You see, every one of us has been a slave or is a slave to sin. What is the benefit? The benefit is that the Lord is delivering those that are in slavery to their sin. So cease from doing your regular work and remember your sinful state. Cease from doing your regular work and remember the Lord Jesus Christ. You think, well, that was a miracle. I would have liked to have seen the Red Sea parted myself. I would have liked to have seen those chariot wheels get all mucked up, and then all of a sudden the water came back over the foes of the people of God. Well, if you've seen the Lord, your own sin, and you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, you've seen something much more glorious than that miracle in Egypt as they came out of Egypt. We need to remember this situation. Jesus, with a mighty and outstretched arm, provides deliverance. You say, well, what is the might in it? Many people can't see the might in the suffering Savior. The might in the suffering Savior was is not that he would physically put away all of the political opposition to the Jewish people of his day, but what he would do is take the form of a servant himself. He would humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus died that we might live. He was rich, and we were poor, and he became poor that we might become rich. You see, there's benefit in this day. Saturate yourself. Don't run home. Don't run home. Come here and open your ears and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, my heart's not in it today. Open my heart and enlarge my heart to hear of your saving work, to hear the truth that will set you free, to receive the benefits and the blessing of the day. Don't run away. I mean, what kind of blessing are we going to get at the house? Sitting in the lazy boy, watching the television. What kind of blessing are you going to get? Oh, I watch a TV preacher. Okay. If you're very discerning, you might be able to find a preacher on TV that's going to proclaim the word of God to you. But you better be careful if you're watching TV preachers. Come here. Here you will hear the word of God. I'm not boasting in this local congregation. I'm just saying that that's why I'm a part of it. Because here we're serious about the word. We're serious about these words being your very life. No empty words. We believe that these words are sufficient for everything. Of course, they're inspired, breathed out by God, but they're sufficient. They're profitable. Don't neglect the day. And may I not neglect the day. For we need to remember. We need to remember the work of the Lord. And you know, God created everything in 6 days, and then he ceased. The work of creation was done. Do you know that the work of Christ and the redemption of his people is completed? He cried out, "It is finished." What's finished? The debt has been paid. We should have been paying the debt. We should have had the wrath of God upon us, because every one of us has sinned and fallen short. Every one of us had the sinful mind that was hostile to God. Every one of us was not righteous, because there's no, not one. Every one of us should have been paying the debt of our sin. But Christ has finished the work. He's completed it. He has ceased. He's done everything that was necessary. And now in time, he is working out the salvation of his people. The sheep hear the shepherd. They follow him. They receive this as good news. And so ESV has a study note. God's rest centered upon recognizing that his work of creation was now completed. That's what we see in the establishment of the Sabbath, Genesis chapter 2. Now Christians, and this comment is on Hebrews chapter 4, Christians enter into his rest. Do you want to begin to rest? Recognize that Christ's work of redeeming them from sin has also been completed. Day by day, we have many, many things that come into our life. There's many things going on. There's many things that clutter our mind and grab our attention. You know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. We know the pride in possession, the love of money. There are many, many, many things that can distract us. There are many temptations to be distracted. Let's set apart a day to continually come back, to be renewed and to rest in the Lord, to receive the blessings that God would have for us in this day. Of course, repent day by day, but week by week, let us rest in the Lord. The Sabbath also reminds us that there is an eternal rest for the people of God, everlasting rest. One day, there will be no more striving. There will be no more tears and no pain, no more tribulation. There will be joy forevermore at His right hand. One day, we will not just get to gather here among the local congregation, but we'll be among the congregation of the people of God, from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. This should be a tiny taste of what's to come. Do you have sweet fellowship here? Oh, won't we have sweet fellowship there? I want to simply close by asking a few questions. What are you doing? Well, you're here on the Lord's Day. What are you doing on the Lord's Day? Maybe there'll be some people that are not here that'll listen and consider as well. Are we delighted to get finished with the Sunday services early so that we can get on to the things that we really want to do? And I have to confess to you that I had in the past been in that place at a church that at times there was cancellation of Sunday evening services. And for some reason, every once in a while I get a little lift up. When I say, oh, no Sunday service, I get a little lift. Ooh, what am I going to get to do this afternoon? Don't have to go to church. Don't have to minister to those students today. What am I going to do? And the Lord convicted me. What are we doing with this day? And ultimately, where is our heart in the day? God forbid that there are things that we would rather do than spend time in prayer and praise and preaching, fellowship among the people of God. So first, the Lord's day will benefit you. It will benefit you. Cease from your labor. May I cease from my labor. It's at times it's hard to take our mind and say, Lord, I really don't have to intensely focus on these things all the time. I need to intensely focus on you. Cease from your labor. Remember the Lord's saving work. And remember that there is an eternal rest for the people of God. Some simple principles as we consider Sabbath and Lord's Day observance. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, as we have looked into your word and I've looked many places, I pray that you would indeed glorify yourself through these word, your word going out. Give us stronger, stronger conviction to draw near to you. Let us not waste the time that you've given us. Many and most do not have to labor on the Sunday, their regular work. Lord, may we truly benefit. And Lord, we know that's going to happen when we're loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, would you bless us indeed to see your wisdom and your work and how we would be blessed indeed if we would take seriously the Lord's Day more and more. Lord, we thank you that this is a glimpse. This is a just getting started. We have entered the rest of Christ, depended upon him, for he has done all the work that's necessary that we might be saved. And ultimately, one day we'll be able to be with him face to face. There will not be a dim sight of the Lord. There will not be a tasting and a seeing that the Lord is good, but there will be a complete enjoyment and a feeling of the presence of the Lord that we have not experienced as of yet. Lord, would you fit us for heaven? Use us this week to glorify your great name. And it's through Jesus that I pray this blessing. Amen.